told us how the lawyer prepared him to take the stand, that he's going to be under cross-examination because the defendant, the guilty party, had an advocate as well who was going to try to trip him up in what he says. Could you see who it was? How far away was it? Was it dark? But he just stood on the truth and says, I saw him, and pointed the man out in court who committed the crime. And then that made me think, wow, I have a testimony as well. Amen? We have a testimony that of the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the precious blood of Jesus. We have a testimony of how he changed us, how he made us whole, how he healed us. And we tell that testimony. We tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It made me think of the church that God has called me to and drew me to, that it has two distinct purposes. And we're going to talk about them tonight. And the pastor helps us in these two distinct purposes. And thank you for that, Pastor. And thank you for letting me deliver the mail tonight. The pastor's job is to help you present your case, or to help you to prepare yourself and present your evidence, your testimony. Sometimes we have testimony services. I hope you all can come. I hope you all have a testimony of how good God is. It is a beautiful thing. It is something that helps us, that justice will be done from your testimony. Amen? And just as a good lawyer prepares his client to stand trial, so does our pastor help us to one day stand in the day of adversity. Our pastor through the Holy Ghost. Amen? As I read my Bible, I see more and more how he is so much of an advocate and mediator to me. How Brother Dan was just talking about how he reveals himself to you. He will reveal himself as that personal God who's getting you ready for the trial of your life, whatever that trial may be. Amen? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus spoke of the same thing because he was preparing his disciples. Remember that short time he was with them when he began his ministry at age 30, and he was with them about three and a half years. He was preparing them for the trial of their life. And he gave them many, many very specific instructions and many other things to help, and many other things too to help them to stand in the day of adversity that they were going to face, and many of them did. But in Matthew 5:25, he says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. You are going, when you're on your way to court, and I hope many of you don't have to go to court one day for whatever reason, but one of the things I notice about most court cases, things can be settled out of court. It can be settled out of court or before you actually get to the courtroom. I experienced that once before Calvary. I was a dad who had to pay child support. And one day I got the social worker called me down to the courtroom and said, you're behind in your child support. You're gonna have to pay, and it don't look good. I get to court, and the first two cases in front of me, two men got taken away. So it came my turn. I don't know what to do. But fortunately, in my case, the court order that said I was supposed to be in court that day was not there. It was not in the record. The judge asked me, why are you here? I go, the man told me to come down here. But why are you here? He told me to come down. And the public defender was like, there's no court order here, Your Honor, saying he's supposed to be here. And the judge remanded the case and said, okay, come back in 6 months and until we can get our paperwork together. So, well, in 6 months, I had a new job. I was caught up with my child support, and I didn't have to appear before a judge again. Amen? My daughter is 31 years old now. Thank you, Jesus. Loves and respects her daddy. but it was something settled before that. But the point I'm trying to get across to you is that we're going to be accused. The accuser of the brethren accuses all the time. And he has a legitimate complaint on us. Some of the things almost all the things he says about us are factual. I have a record. I have flesh. I have done some things. But it's also true, the whole truth is, that I've been covered by the precious blood of Jesus. My wrongdoing has been covered by him. Amen? We thank God for the blood. That's why, yes, it's partly true. Yes, I did some things. I have some offenses. But the whole truth is, yes, I did those things and even more, but he died for me, amen? I repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus, amen? Just remember that. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the whole truth. And what my pastor always tells me, 50% of the truth is a 100% lie. You can't just tell part of the truth. It's the whole truth. Please, the thing that he has over us is when we try to say we have no sin. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Oh, no, I don't do that. Oh, no. A confession needs to be made there on your way to court. Okay? And also that you've been covered. Another example he gave of that was in Luke chapter 12. Verse 58 in the New King James, it says, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that ye mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. Give diligence that you may be delivered from him. To be able to settle that case out of court or before you get there. You want to, this grace period that we live in. Yes, it is a time that all runaways can come home. It's time for all of us who are sick to finally go to the doctor. It is time for all of us who have been estranged or separated to be reconciled once again. It is also time to make your case before you get to the judge. There's a grace period. Nothing infuriates or upsets a judge to the max is when you got a ticket for not having your license or registration and you finally get to your court date 2 months later and you still don't have your registration or a license. He feels that you're making a mockery of his courtroom or the system. You have time. There is a grace period for you to get that together. Amen? Oh, we're going to have our day in court. We are going to have our day in court. Amen? And just the very vernacular or vocabulary of the Bible, they're words of litigation, judgment, advocate, accuser, adversary, witness, yep, magistrate, evidence, proof, defense, and testimony. Those are courtroom words. Those are trial words. And certainly we are going to be on trial. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. An advocate makes his intercession. Amen? And in Revelation 12:10, it says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Remember again, he is an accuser, and he does have a legitimate point. So all complaints, there's a little bit of truth there. But remember, the whole truth. The whole truth. Amen? Proverbs. A lot of instructions for someone on a trial for their life in Proverbs. The instructions. Oh, God so much wants his sons and daughters to listen to instructions and to fear the Lord. Amen. That's a whole other message of fear in the Lord. But he wants us to listen to instruction and incline our ear to hearing his voice because of that day of trouble that's coming. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5, he says, A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. In Proverbs 21:28, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Proverbs is constantly, if you really look at Proverbs, you'll see some of those very instructions. I wish I had read it before I went to trial, before I went to court by myself. But another important preparation that Jesus gave to his disciples, he said in Luke 24, verse 45 to 48, after the resurrection, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behoove Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. They were witnesses. And that's another important point about being a witness. Yes, you saw and you heard what happened. You saw the goodness of God. You heard what happened. But it's having the boldness to testify to what you saw and heard. Having the confidence to say that you experienced the glory of God. You experienced the grace of God. You experienced the goodness of God. And that comes by way of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
All right. Amen.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's that word again, evidence. Amen? So the two purposes there, witness preparation. One of the things that the church helps you do is to prepare to be a faithful witness. And again, we're going to have testimony services, and you're going to be testifying to one another here all the time as to what God can do, as to what he has already done in your life. Once someone told me that if everybody was talking to everybody about Jesus and giving the testimony to everybody else, we'd be in heaven already. That's the power of the testimony. And witness protection, witness preparation helps us in that glorious transformation and being transformed to his glorious likeness. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, and I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 4, verses 4:5-6 in the New King James Version, it says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Again, that sounds so much like an advocate or an attorney preparing his client.
That's right.
that they should be ready to testify. And not only in their words, but in their lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, do we again commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others do, epistles of commendation to your letters of commendations from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts and known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Amen. Paul just put it so beautifully. We are epistles, or letters, to be read by all men. People read you. You have a testimony. Your life, your example, the way you live, the way you do your jobs, or the way you carry yourself, says you're a witness. The second purpose of the church is witness protection. One of the safest places you can be is in church. Just have a life where you go to church. Please don't let the enemy tell you it isn't important. It is very, very important. For some, going to church is a big sacrifice. They'd rather be doing something else on Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays, or during the nights of revival. The safest place you can be is in church. And everybody needs a pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Jesus, for our church. It is very important, because that figuratively, that represents the witness protection program. Philippians 1:27 in New King James says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to thee or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Again, this is where we learn that, here in church. This is where we learn to love one another. This is where we learn to strive side by side for the gospel. This is where we first heard the gospel and responded to the gospel. The safest places in church. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul is appealing to the Ephesian church at Ephesus once again. "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation to which you were called." They're in the witness protection program, but they can't go back and commit crimes, even though they got a clean record. Walk worthy, because you're about to go on trial. We don't want your testimony to be impeached. We don't want your witness to be sullied. Where those three questions that we learned in men's conference: what does God say about me? What does God say to me? And what is God saying through me? What is God saying through me? Meaning, I can never abandon my witness. I never abandon my witness. He is, or my testimony. What is he saying through me? And it's very important. The witness protection program. I'm going to read a note on how it came about. And it's very interesting. In the United States, the witness protection program is established by the Witness Protection Act, which in turn sets out the manner in which the U.S. Attorney General may provide for the relocation and protection of a witness or potential witness of a federal government, or for the state government in an official proceeding concerning organized crime or other serious offenses. Witness protection is the process in which witnesses, such as those who testify in criminal trials, are protected against intimidation before their testimony or criminal retaliation after their testimony. In other words, they're protected before they have to stand trial or after they stood trial and told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That protection is still extended to them after. They're under the witness protection. Sound familiar? The federal government also gives grants to the states to enable them to provide the same program. It works on the federal and the state level. The federal program is called WITSEC, or the Federal Witness Protection Program, and was founded in the late 1960s by Gerald Schur, and was when he was in the Organized Crime and Racketeering section of the United States Department of Justice. This is something I found. In my research. Former members of the Italian Mafia, similar to criminal terrorist organizations, who have abandoned their criminal organization and helped the police discover as much as possible about the respective organizations, criminals in general, anything related to the former criminal activities, membership, in exchange receive lighter punishments for their crimes, and in some cases, even freedom. The Italian judicial system can obtain freedom from jail or be absolved of their crimes in exchange for their testimony. In the Italian judicial system, they can obtain personal protection, a new name, money to sustain a new life in another place, or a new life in another place, possibly abroad. And it talks all about them. Now, get this. They have all types of names for people in the witness protection. You probably heard some of them. They're snitches. They're informants. They're volunteer witnesses. They really got a bad name. They ratted them out. Do you know what it's called in Italian? The pentiti. Say it with me. Pentiti. The definition for it in Italian is those who have repented. That's the word for someone under the witness protection program in Italy. The pentiti, those who have repented. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you're in the witness protection program now. What you used to do before doesn't go on anymore. Amen. And you can testify to the works of the world that they are wrong. They are going to drag you down. You can testify that the devil is evil. You can testify that you have a new life. Amen. You can sing that song with confidence that my friends don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burdens down. Amen. You have a new life and a new identity in Christ. He has absolved you. It's like he has expunged your record in exchange for that testimony, because he has changed us from the inside out. Hallelujah. The pentiti. Oh, my goodness. You can get on that witness stand with confidence now. You've been forgiven. You were repented. You have repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have confidence to testify now. Amen. Even though if it were some of those things you used to do, God, you have been forgiven. You've been covered by the precious blood. Amen. In Romans 6, verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That we are. Sometimes you are hidden in plain sight. The Witness Protection Program. It is a function of our church that our witness be protected. Amen. Help each other to protect your witness. But I'm not coming down on you. I just want you to protect your witness. I don't want your testimony to be impeached, okay? You have a story to tell that people want to listen to it. Amen?
All right. Amen.
Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Unto the death. And it brings about another thing about the Witness Protection Program and this life that we have here. The witness in the Witness Protection Program can't go back to his old life. He cannot visit his friends or family anymore. He can't do the same things he used to do now. This life we live is a life of sacrifice and self-denial. We can't go back. I don't want to go back, really. But remember that. And we're here to help each other and build one another up and say, you made the right choice. You made the right choice in testifying against your former friends. And testify, you're not really testifying against them, but you're testifying to the goodness of God. Amen. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hear counselor. Hear counsel, or listen to your counsel. You know, lawyers, as officers of the court, they're referred to as counselor. Good day, counselor. Good day, counselor. Listen to your counselor. He is trying to prepare you for the trial of your life. Amen. Proverbs 27:11 says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me. So, again, in the Witness Protection Program and being prepared to be a witness, sometimes it's a little bit more than just our testimony at that point. It's, again, the way we live. Being the wisdom of God helps us to live a certain way. Amen? It's meant for us to live a certain way. Those instructions he gives are meant for us to follow them and to live a certain way. Amen? If you have these instructions, if you have someone to help you in the way, to have someone to help you to live this life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, just like the witness in the Witness Protection Program, just like the witness who's going to be on in trial for their life, give your lawyer something to work with. Amen. Be a faithful witness. Be someone whose testimony is impeccable. Your character, when you take that stand, says we're not going to get him. Their case is over when you walked into the courtroom. They know who you are. Remember, they perceived that Peter and John had been with Jesus. In the book of Acts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledgement of the truth. Acknowledging of the truth. Again, God is helping us to be that witness. And sometimes we have to be a witness. We have to help someone to be a witness who don't realize that they are. Sometimes you may have to help someone with their testimony. They don't even know they have a testimony. And you see how God has rescued them and been so good to them. Help them. Help them. It protects their witness. It prepares them to be a witness. It's going to prepare them for the trial of their life. Amen? Remember, your adversary has a legitimate complaint. Matthew 5, verse 37, the New King James Version. This is a very famous one. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is no more than these come from the evil one. Anybody ever heard that one before? Yeah. Give a straight answer when you can. At all times, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He has a legitimate complaint, and I get asked this question at Job Corps all the time. Haven't you done something like that before? You were young once. Didn't you do so and so and so and so before? Yes. Yes. I also was baptized in the name of Jesus before. Amen. Because I did so and so and so and before, I needed to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Remember, it's the whole truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 15, in the New King James Version, he says, "For I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." Amen. He meant to prepare you for your trial. He meant to prepare you to take the stand. David said in Psalms 119, verse 46, he said, I will speak of you, thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Man, your testimony is a powerful testimony. You should be confident in giving. He healed me. He healed me when I was sick and I cannot tell it all. Amen. Some things to consider. Do not commit perjury or do anything that might damage your testimony. Amen? 2, by all means, give our advocate something to work with. That's similar to, now these are just advice. If you're someone who is going on trial, these are some things that you need to consider before you go on trial, before you take the stand. That's what this list is about. But again, many of them sound like the instructions from our pastor, from our Lord and Savior, from our friend that sticks closer to a brother, sticks closer than a brother. He is preparing us. Is my manner of life worth advocating for? Did my lawyer make a mistake in representing me? Did my advocate make a mistake in taking my case in the first place? Some kind of probing questions, isn't it? Makes you look at your character. Is my defense advocate ashamed of his client? Is he ashamed to represent me? Did I do all I can to prepare myself and others to endure cross-examination? Whoa. You are going to be challenged. You are going to be challenged in this faith that we have, in this walk that we have. Be prepared to make a defense for it. Be prepared to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Was I careful to observe the things that I did and said before my trial? And that's kind of every day for us, amen? Yeah. Was I careful? Did I walk circumspectly? Yeah. And and that I watch so that they would, I watch what I said or did so that those things would not damage or ruin my testimony. Amen. If you need more evidence, two women I know of in the Bible entered that witness protection program. You may know about them too. Ruth. The story of Ruth. In Ruth 1:16, she was gonna leave. Naomi wanted her to leave and go back home to Moab. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And wherever and your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Let me into your, this program now. Let me into this program now. I'm going where you go. You're protected. I want to be protected." Amen. Ruth knew where she needed to be. Amen. Please don't send me back to Moab. And for everything I've read about Moab, I think she made the right choice. Another woman in the Old Testament that entered into the witness protection program, Rahab. When the spies came into Jericho, and the people were afraid of them. They were afraid of the people of Israel because they knew God fought for them. They didn't want no part of the Israelites. And they knew that the spies were somewhere and invade the city. And Rahab hid them. Rahab knew and told them. She knew about the God of Israel, that he fought for them. And let them know that these people are scared. We know we're about to be overrun. And she hid them and let them down with a rope. And she was protected when they invaded that city, her and her family. Many times in the witness protection program, they take not only the witness, but their whole family. Their whole family is covered by the blood, not only the blood, but the divine protection of our Lord and Savior. Amen? In Joshua chapter 6, verses 22 to 25, it says, "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought her out, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel." Hallelujah. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Wow. That was protection for her and her whole household. That is amazing. The first that I can think of the actual example of the witness protection program. And she, after Jericho was all gone, she still dwelled with them. And as a matter of fact, Rahab was one of the ancestors of David, in the line of David. Amen. God protected her and her family. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for preparing us to be a witness unto your glory. We thank you for protecting us in our witness and our testimony, Jesus. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you, Jesus, for telling us the truth, for delivering us, God, for making us whole. We thank you for the protection that you have over our families. We thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for counting us worthy to speak your name, for counting us worthy, oh Lord Jesus, to have a testimony of your goodness, God, for bringing us out of the world, Lord Jesus, washing us clean and making us vessels unto your noble use, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Use us, O Lord Jesus, in this day forth and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for listening. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Okay. They are still having class back there. Please do not disturb the class. Oh, okay. All right. God bless you. Oh, even if they're outside, do not disturb them. Even if they're outside, do not disturb their class, please.